Hey, and welcome to the show. We're going to be speaking with Mark Bergevin a little bit later, talking about their collector car auction. So we'll find out more about that, which is always fun. Everybody likes to watch the collector car auctions on TV. You can go and see one in person. We'll find out more in about 15 or 20 minutes. And if we're going to do anything today, it's going to be open phones. You're more than welcome to call on anything automotive, 1-877-399-9898 and 604-280-9898. It has been a very busy few weeks for me. I've been to San Francisco to drive the new Ford Escape, Texas to drive the new Dodge Dart, this past week in Halifax to drive the new Mercedes SL 550. So I've racked up the air miles, and I've also received some great interviews. And you can listen to the interviews again if you missed them here on the radio over the last 2 weeks. And there's also a video I've done on the new Ford Escape on my website, motormouth.ca. If you click on the main page there, there's about seven stories that cycle through. And the Ford Escape has been the best-selling compact crossover in the country for many years, eight actually. And you can go on there and find out what the new 2013 model will be arriving in about 6 or 8 weeks or so. And there's a video there. There's also an interview with Richard Cox from Dodge talking about the all-new Dodge Dart, which is a surprising car. I think a lot of people are going to be surprised when they drive the Dodge Dart to find out that it is a very good car. And nothing on my website yet about the Mercedes SL. This is a pretty narrow market, somebody that's looking for a roadster, over $100,000 car. I just want to plug again, the phone board is 1-877-399-9898. That's 604-280-9898 or 1-877-399-9898. You're more than welcome to call on anything automotive. You're in the market for a car, new or used, you're more than welcome to call. And the other thing is that everybody gets left on the phone board at the end. So the smart one, the early bird, as they say, gets the worm. So you're always better to call in before it gets too busy on the phone board. So back to the Mercedes SL. This is really quite a car. Mercedes has actually dropped the price from about $129,000 to $124,000, which is way out of the league of most people. But for those lucky enough to drive a Mercedes SL, and they sell about 700 or 800 of these cars a year, excuse me, the new 2013 is spectacular. We must have driven 700 kilometers all around the roads in Halifax and Nova Scotia. We stayed at the golf course that's owned by Ron Joyce, who's the owner of Tim Hortons. Beautiful golf course right on the ocean there. And this car is spectacular. 429 horsepower. It's 130 kilograms lighter. That's a huge weight savings because now the body is all aluminum and this thing just dances through the corners. So it really is a spectacular car. You're more than welcome if you have the money to test it out. The main competitors for this would be, say, the Porsche 911 Cabriolet and the BMW 6 Series. So we're open phones today. Anything you want to talk about? We'll say hello to Dean first. Hey, Dean. Dean, go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to ask about the 2013 BMW X3.
What do you need to know?
They've got the four-cylinder version out in 13. What your thoughts are around that four-cylinder twin turbo?
If you go to my website, motormouth.ca, I have a review of the X1, and I have a review of the new BMW 3 Series, which both utilize this new motor. It's a 2-liter turbocharged engine with 241 horsepower, and it is a gem. It's a really nice motor, and it's also used as the base motor for the 5 Series. So you have to remember that this motor now has more power and more torque than the old inline 6-cylinder. So it's not a step down. It's actually a step up. You get more power, more torque, and a much better fuel efficiency. So that's why they're putting it in the X3.
Okay.
So, and the X3 is the one thing I always recommend for anybody driving a BMW, they go from mild to kind of aggressive in their suspensions. So test drive one without the sports package on the suspension and test one with, because sometimes the suspension, when you get the sports setting, can be a little choppy. If you don't like that really aggressive, choppy ride, try one without the sports setting. It makes a huge difference.
Okay, great. So okay. You'd recommend it over the Q5 or the GLK?
GLK, well, here's the story is next week I'm going to be going to test drive the new GLK, which is coming out later this year. Now, that is a very interesting story because they are going to have a turbocharged 4-cylinder diesel in the GLK. And it has, I think, 368 foot-pounds of torque. It's going to be like a monster, this thing. And the GLK is, in my opinion, the best all-round of the compact luxury crossovers. So I think, you know, if you're not in a rush, and obviously you're not going to be able to get this new X3 right away. They usually come in September. You might want to also wait to drive the new GLK with the diesel. Because if it was me, I would pick the diesel over a gasoline engine. That's just my personal taste because it has so much more drivability and torque. Now, I also hear the BMW is working on a diesel for the X3 as well.
Okay. So it's fairly prevalent to get diesel around the city?
Well, the thing is, I believe in Mercedes, when you hit the Navi button, diesel filling stations come up on the navigation. And plus, when you get to know your routine, like where you drive regularly to work and what have you, you get to know where the filling stations are. So I really don't think it's a big deal. And when you go out on a highway trip, all truck stations obviously have diesel because trucks use diesel.
Oh, okay.
Once you learn where the diesel filling stations are, it really doesn't become an issue. Here's an interesting stat. If Mercedes-Benz offers a diesel in one of their product lines, 80 to 90% of the people choose the diesel over the gasoline.
Oh, wow.
So the Mercedes ML, the GL, all of these cars that they offer with a diesel, almost everybody takes the diesel over the gas. And they find fuel. My neighbor's got one, and she's getting another one. She likes it so much.
Okay, great. Oh,
okay, anytime. All right, we go to Harjeet. Hey, Harjeet, what's up?
I'm looking for Panamera.
Nice. Lucky guy.
And they're changing a shape very soon next year?
No, the car, I think, came out in 09, 010, maybe 09. Is it 09? I'm trying to remember what year, model year it came out. German cars have a longer life cycle.
Uh-huh.
They typically last 7 years. So they will do a refresh halfway through. So I think this might be the third year. So it might be next year that they do a refresh. They do bring out new models. For example, this year they're bringing out the Panamera GTS, which has all of the, you know, fancier wheels and the fancier interior and the more aggressive looking body kit on it.
Uh-huh.
So that is a refresh for this current year. So it might be a year or two before they redo the body.
Oh, okay. What kind of price, like a 4S, not a 4S, you know?
The Panamera 4.
Yeah.
I believe it starts at around 90 grand for the Panamera 4. Don't uh-huh. quote me on that.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, you can easily go to Porsche.ca to get the price on it. I love the Panamera. It's one of my favorite cars. And I really don't believe that you need to get the S model, the V8. The six-cylinder is very good.
Oh, okay.
And it has 300 horsepower. It's got a fabulous 8-speed automatic transmission. It does a great job. I do, however, recommend the 4-wheel drive or the all-wheel drive over the 2-wheel drive for traction. And also, I find that the rear wheels spin a little bit when you accelerate away, and that's just going to wear tires quickly.
Right. But how about the leaking oil? Somebody told me Porsche have a problem with those.
I don't know. I have a pal who's a master technician with Porsche, and I'm going to see him later today. I can ask him, but I don't have the answer for you on that.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. But you're a lucky guy getting out there and buying a Panamera.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Talk to you later. Is that Hugh?
Yes.
Hey, Hugh, go ahead.
Simple conversion for you. You keep getting this question, and you are referring people to the U.S. EPA numbers.
Yes.
If you take 235.2 and divide it by U.S. miles per gallon, that's liters 100K.
Uh-huh. But how am I going to remember that?
Write it down.
Yeah. Yeah, but so what are you saying? If you go to the EPA website and then you want to convert it back to liters per 100 kilometers?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying? Okay, yeah. But I find, like, if I just type into Google and I type in metric conversion, there's all kinds of websites. You just type in the miles per gallon and then you click a button and it does it for you.
And you can do that in 3 seconds on a calculator.
Come again?
You can do that on a calculator in 3 seconds.
Yeah, but obviously you got past grade 11 math. I didn't.
Yeah.
That's why I talk on the radio for a living.
Yeah.
You know, if I was a smart guy, I'd be solving the world's problems, but I'm not.
Yeah, but if you have the EPA number, you just put in 235.2 divide by the U.S. miles per gallon. That number that comes up is liters 100K.
235.2.
Yeah.
Okay, good to know.
And another one is the conversion in miles per gallon from U.S. to imperial
mm-hmm.
for the pre-metric folks. The more accurate number is 1.2, not 1.25.
Okay.
And the reason for that is a lot of people don't realize that U.S. fluid ounces are bigger than imperial.
Really?
Yeah, so our gallon, which is 160 imperial, in U.S. terms, it is 153.7 ounces. And that's why the 125 is...
Somebody told me the historical reason for the difference between a gallon, imperial gallon, and a U.S. gallon is it's based on pints. And we have different, you know, a U.S. pint is different than, you know, a pint of beer you would get, say, in the U.K.
Yeah, their pint is 16 ounces and imperial is 20.
Yeah, but you're saying even the ounces are different.
The ounces are different.
Well, that's why metric is so beautiful. It's all based on tens.
Yes.
I agree with you. And the funny thing is I get emails from people and they say, would you please, in your articles or when you're doing a review, refer to miles per gallon? And I say to them, the metric system was adopted in Canada in the early 70s. If you haven't adapted over the 40 years, then, you know, it's like me in the grade 11 math. I'm never going to get it.
Yeah. Well, if you take that same number and divide it by liters 100K, that's miles per gallon U.S.
Well, now you're really confusing me. You send me a flow chart.
Yeah, the constant is the same.
It's right.
Whatever you divide
into it.
Gives you the other one.
Right. Okay, Hugh, thanks a lot.
Very good.
I appreciate it. Were you a math teacher?
No.
Okay.
I wasn't very good at math either.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Yeah, we have a strong family line of people who are bad at math. Come by it honestly. And I find there are people who either get it or don't. I never got it. All right, we go to a quick break. When we come back, as I mentioned, there's a collector car auction for ADESA, and we'll find out from Mark Bergevin what it's all about next on Driving. Each and every week, Mark Bergevin joins us from ADESA Richmond Public Auction. We're switching things up this week, Mark. We're doing a collector car auction. You've got a mega auction with all your regular cars. You've got a lot of things going on next weekend. It's next Saturday, right?
Yes, yeah, Saturday, May 12th, and it actually is at our location at 7111 Number 8 Road in Richmond.
That's where you usually do the big dealer auction, right?
Yeah, so we're opening the dealer auction to the public auction, kind of combining them for this specific event. There will be about 300 cars to be sold, and then we'll have a collector car auction with about 100 or so pieces in it as well. So it's going to be a fantastic day, Zach.
I guess the collector car has changed. You know, years ago it used to be old, maybe pre-war cars. Now it's like 60s muscle cars. You get any of those hanging around, you think?
Yeah, you know what? We have 60s muscle cars for sure. We have a pace car from Corvette pace car. We have lots of cool cars, Zach. It's going to be a great day.
Now, if you want to just go down there and, you know, look around, maybe you're not in the market to buy a collector car, is it open to the public just to go and watch?
Yeah, so there's kind of it's twofold, Zach. The public is welcome to come now. We're going to include a show and shine on Saturday, on the event Saturday. So there will be just cars to, you know, Google at and, you know, drool over and, you know, have fun and just check them out. But also, if you want to come on Friday for viewing of the cars that will be in the auction, we're open from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. Friday for viewing as well.
So Friday you have viewing, that's the 11th. 12th. The Saturday is the day for the mega auction and then the collector car. What time does it start?
Everything starts at 10 a.m., Zach.
All right, Mark. We'll talk to you next week with a good news story.
Thanks, and have a great week, Zach.
All right, and we go back to the phone board and we say hello to Tricia. Hey, Tricia.
Oh, yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you tell me, I'm looking for a new car, but I want someone to do the buying, and I heard you said you have someone you can phone and they go to the dealer and do all the...
Yeah, unfortunately, that business isn't around any longer. We will have Rick Balkin coming up in the second half of the show, and he has a website called newcarselloff.com. And the premise behind this is dealers post cars that are trying to move off their lot at deeply discounted prices, and then you just go and do the deal. It's basically rock bottom prices already being built in. So you don't have to negotiate any farther on that. The basic premise is, say, for example, in northern Alberta, they sell a lot of pickup trucks, right? but they don't sell a lot of sedans. So the dealer still has sedans, but they're not selling because everybody wants a pickup. He wants to put them on the website to get people who maybe are in a market where they want a sedan, and then they can buy it and they can go pick it up or have it delivered, but you get great savings. So that's one way to do it. The other way is to just educate yourself and go in there and be strong and do your own deal. If you look in your neighborhood, in your area under Google and look for auto brokers, you'll find them as well. Auto brokers kind of work against the system, though, because the more they get for the car, for you to pay for the car, then they get a percentage of that. So they work on a percentage deal. So it's a tricky business to try and get the best price.
Okay.
So what kind of car are you looking for?
I know what I want, and I know exactly what I want on it. I'm getting the Kia, but I want the Bluetooth, and I want the leather seats and heated seats.
What kind of car, what model of Kia?
The two-door.
The Rio or the Forte?
No. The two-door, I think it is the Rio. It's two-door coupe.
Yeah, I think that's the Forte, the Kia Forte. The good thing about Kia is they come with most of these things in there, except maybe the leather seats, like Bluetooth and heated seats. They're pretty good at that. So you don't have to, maybe you don't get on the base model, but one up from the base model, you'll get that. Here's the news flash for anybody listening, thinking that dealers make a killing on new cars. They don't. You know, there's very small margins for new car dealers on new cars. They basically pay to keep the lights on and to pay the guy selling you the car and all of that kind of stuff. The dealers make the money on the service and the back end and selling used cars. New cars, they make some money on it, but not a lot. So there's not a lot of negotiating, especially on a car that's going to be, you know, sub $20,000.
I see.
Okay, but if you want to go, newcarselloff.com, click on cars under 20 grand, and then click on Kia, and you might be able to find one in there.
No, I think this was something like around 26.
Yeah, that's the Forte, I'm believing. Kia Forte.
All right, thanks.
Okay?
Bye.
All right, we're going to go from that to a Kia Soul. Hey, Anthony.
Hi, hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, no, I just want to ask your opinion regarding the Kia Soul.
Yeah, I think it's a great product. It has a lot of room, even though it's a compact little crossover. It has a good back seat, lots of cargo space. It's a fun little car to drive. I think they did a very good job on that, and anybody would be happy to drive. It's kind of cool looking as well. So,
yeah, I like it, yes, but yeah. What about the engine?
Well, they updated the engine just recently. It's got a little bit more power, and it's just been refreshed. So Kia is doing very well when it comes to quality. Quality scores, and the Soul, I haven't heard anything negative about it. So, all new cars are getting so much better when it comes to quality, and Kia and Hyundai are doing just as well as most. So I haven't heard any complaints about the Soul. In fact, people who own them love them.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay, Anthony, not a problem. All right, we are doing open phones for the remainder of the show, and we will have Rick coming up in the second half talking about that system of buying a car. If you don't want to negotiate, it's kind of interesting. But you're more than welcome to jump in at 1-877-399-9898 and 604-280-9898. We'll take more of your calls for the second half of Driving. Hey, and welcome back to the show. I just want to give a little shout out to the website, motormouth.ca. That's my website. If you click on it, you'll see on the front page, there's seven main stories that I post there, and you can scroll through them and click on any one of them. There's an interview with Richard Cox that aired about a week ago on this radio show about the all-new Dodge Dart, so you can listen to that. You can also find out about the Kia Rio sedan. Somebody just called about the Kia Rio hatchback. There is the video also for the hatchback if you're interested in the Kia Rio. There's a video of the all-new Range Rover Evoque that won the Truck of the Year and also the World Design of the Year. And there's the Lexus GS, which Lexus hopes will take on cars like the BMW 5 Series. There are a lot of interest in this Mazda CX-5. That's the compact crossover from Mazda that features all of their SkyActiv technology. There's a video there featured on the homepage. There's also a video I just put together about the 2013 Ford Escape, getting huge interest in the Ford Escape video. You can find that on my homepage at motormouth.ca. Also a video I did on the new 3 Series. Somebody called earlier talking about the new X3. This new 3 Series features the same engine that'll be featured in the X3 next year, so you can find out more about that beautiful engine. That's just some of the stuff that's on motormouth.ca. There's lots to dig around and find out about when you get a second. Bob's next from Calgary. Hey, Bob, go ahead.
Hi, Zach. I'd just like your opinion on the upsell the dealers try to give you when you buy a new vehicle regarding undercoating and rust-proofing. I bought a new car last week, and I'm just trying to decide whether to spend the extra $2,000 to $3,000.
No.
No? Simple answer.
That's appealing to your Scottish nature, I'm sure.
You're right.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm Scottish, too. Actually, I'm going to Scotland this summer to visit my mom, who still lives there.
I'm going next week.
Oh, good for them. I'll see you at the pub. All right. So, Bob, here's the thing. This is the way dealers work. And you know, dealers listen to my show. I know they listen. And they don't like me letting the cat out of the bag. But here's the real thing. Sales guy meets you. Hey, let's do a deal on this car. He takes it to the sales manager. You negotiate a price, right? So you're happy with the price. They're happy to sell it to you at that price. Then you go into the back office and meet the person called the business manager. This person should be considered another salesperson. They're going to try and sell you Scotch guarding for your seats, undercoating, paint protection, etched glass, you name it, right? Now, there's a profit margin in there for the dealership when they sell these things. I am here to tell you that each and every one of those items, except maybe the extended warranty that the factory delivers, for example, if you're buying a Chevrolet and they have an extended General Motors warranty, that's something you'd have to buy at the dealer. But almost every other item you can buy outside of the dealer at any time and often for less money. So the thing I want to say to people is if you're going to hold a car for 10 or 15 years and you're worried about rust protection, there are lots of other opportunities to get your car protected. Crown Rust Protection and Rust Check are the two that I like. They coat your car and they really help repel water and salt and all those things that gets put on the road. The other thing about paint protection and the interior of your car, it just comes down to you got to do the hard work. You got to keep your car looking clean. Mm-hmm. And that just means you have to get it either professionally detailed or do it yourself, you know, a couple of times a year.
Yeah. All right.
What car did you get?
Nissan Murano.
Well, that's a nice car.
Yeah.
Have you driven one before?
No, just on the test drive. But I've had I had the Nissan Rogue for the last 4 years. And
well, this is a huge step up from that.
Yeah.
It's a really smooth. I say to people the Murano is a luxury crossover for a sort of a regular midsize luxury price. Now it can get expensive, but you're going to like that car.
I know I am.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Zach.
All right, see you later. Cheers.
Yeah, bye-bye.
All right, we go to Lyle next. Hey, Lyle.
How you doing, guy?
Good.
I'm looking at your Road Rebel.
Oh,
the article you did in the Vancouver paper.
Yes, I did a review of the Dodge Dart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, which I thought was a surprisingly good car. I think they're going to do really well with it.
I know you mentioned that several times. What's with the big oval in the front of all these cars nowadays?
Oval? What do you mean?
You know, the front, like the Mazda. Now this Rebel has got the big open mouth in the front.
Yeah, well, trend is to bigger grills, right? And that trend isn't going away. It's interesting that I spoke to the head of design for the Volkswagen Group, Walter.
Yeah, they're doing it too.
Yeah, Walter Da Silva is the head of Volkswagen Group Design. So he oversees Lamborghini, Audi, Volkswagen, and everything. And he said he was the guy that invented the big oversized grill on the Audis. He was the guy that came up with that. Now everybody's...
Oh, I thought it was Mitsubishi.
Well, Mitsubishi has them. You remember the Chrysler 300 when
it came out?
It had the big open mouth grill. Grills are getting bigger. I read an article recently from Shanghai from the Chinese auto show saying the cars that they sell just for the Chinese market, the bigger and the more gaudy the grill, the better. We're kind of going back to the 50s. You know, those big grills?
Yeah, I know, but those are chrome and everything.
Yeah, so, you know, this, but the one thing that, the reason I bring up Walter Da Silva and Volkswagen is he's the guy that kind of started it with the Audi cars.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah, so he got rid of it for the Volkswagen. Volkswagen had that big open mouth grill, and they got rid of that because they wanted it to be different from the Audi. So some cars have got a cleaner look on the front, but yeah, that's a trend, and it seems that everybody's sort of jumping on top of it.
So it's not really functional or anything. It's just a...
It's styling. So what, what they used to do is the grill was above the bumper, right?
Right.
So the bumper and above was where the grill opening was. Now they incorporate the above bumper and the below bumper and the bumper into one sort of oversized unit.
Well, I know our old cars, like I'm old, I mean, the big thing was the bumper. You know, that was the feature in all cars.
Yeah, but the thing is that they, you know, I like it for a lot of reasons. I think it just looks cool. It looks meaty. It looks aggressive. Like the Dodge.
Oh, I know. I like it.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah. Okay, now the other thing. Have you ever dealt with a Ferrari person ordering a Ferrari car in your life?
Well, no, because I've never had the opportunity to buy a Ferrari. But I know the general sales manager of a Ferrari dealership, and he's a nice guy. You want me to put you in touch? He can hook you up
oh,
with
no,
a Ferrari.
Oh, no, I don't have to. My brother-in-law's got one on order.
Oh, good.
He gets one all the time.
Yeah.
2 years.
Yeah, you should hang out with him. He's got the cash.
Well, I do. But he's got a new one on order. You should see what they send him. Parcel post. He gets a booklet in... My niece wants the cover thing. It's all leather. What he ordered, you can't believe it. It's got everything in there, and this is for his final approval, you know?
So they really lay it on thick to make them feel special. Yeah.
He doesn't have to go to Italy anymore because he's a constant customer, eh?
Yeah, well, I would think that would be a great excuse to go to the factory.
Oh, no, he doesn't have to do it. He's been there so many times. He doesn't have to worry.
Well, tell him to... Bring it to buy my house.
Huh? What's the new one? I forgot the name of it.
I think it's the Spider, right? The convertible?
That's it.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I got to run, Lyle.
Okay,
good chat with you.
No, I loved your article on the Dart. I think Chrysler's doing a good thing by going with other companies.
Yeah.
Because since they went with Mercedes and everything.
That didn't work out well with Mercedes.
No, but their cars did.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Lyle, you tell your, is it your brother or your brother-in-law? Bring the Ferrari by my house.
I don't know where you live. But...
Okay, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, then.
All right. We have there we go. I'm going to say goodbye to Lyle. I think he just wanted to chat cars. That's cool. That's why we're here. We have Diane, Doug, Wayne, Brent, Ted all lined up on the phone board. Next, we're going to speak to Rick Balkin from New Car Sell-Off, and we'll get back to your calls on driving. And welcome back to the show. Rick Balkin joins us each and every week to give us an update on newcarselloff.com. To refresh everyone's memory, Rick, what is newcarselloff.com?
It's a place where customers can go to buy deeply discounted brand new vehicles from new car dealers across Western Canada that have full warranty that have, for one reason or another, just needed to be discounted to be moved by the dealerships.
So sometimes in one location, the vehicle's not moving, but it's highly desirable in another. That's basically the premise, right?
That's exactly right. What other feature we offer with New Car Sell-Off is bottom line pricing for those consumers that don't like to go into a dealership and twist wrists with a salesman. It's a bottom line price. They don't need to negotiate.
So the dealers you have are Western Canada based for the most part.
That's correct. We're across Western Canada to start. We just actually launched our sales force into British Columbia, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba to open up new dealerships. Presently, we have about 200 dealers across Western Canada and about 900 cars on our site. But if you don't see what you're looking for, Zach, one of the things that we've got on our site is a thing called our sell-off alert. So customers, you can put your required car or truck or van or SUV into our search request, and dealers all across Western Canada will get an opportunity to post the car that you're looking for.
Oh, so they get a posting letting them know that someone wants one of that specific model.
That's correct. And they still have to meet with our criteria of having deeply discounted with a maximum markup of up to 3%. So you know for sure, even if it's not... a liquidation price, it's going to be a maximum of 3% markup on the car.
Now, who pays for this? Like, do I pay to become a member of your site? Like, how does it work?
Absolutely not. We charge the dealers for advertising with us. So for a user to come onto our site, it's absolutely free.
Now, I notice when I click through newcarselloff.com, I see some cars that maybe have 5,000, 7,000 kilometers on there. What are they typically?
Well, those are still brand new cars. They probably are company demos. So the dealership staff or the owner will be having a car on there that they'll be driving, and as a result, they'll have a few miles on it. That car has never been registered, so that you still have the benefit of the full warranty with the car, short of the time that it's been driven, if in fact they've registered it. But you have an opportunity to buy a really deeply discounted vehicle at that point. They're really motivated to sell those cars.
Now, you're not just promoting dealerships to sell their cars. You're also giving one away. What is the car you're giving away?
Well, on July 1st, we are giving away a brand new smart car. We're giving the draw. We're doing the draw on your show on July 1st. And if you come to our site, Zach, or even go through your site to our site, for people that want to enter the contest, there's a free smart car giveaway on July 1st for all of our listeners.
NewCarSellOff.com. That's Rick Balkin. Speak to you next week, Rick.
Thanks, Zach.
All right, back to the phone board, and we say hello to Ted. Hey, Ted, go ahead.
Yes, good morning. I have on my computer, there was a fellow speaking, and he was over in Europe, and he said the Volkswagen Passat
Oh, I've seen this video.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of nonsense. There's a video of a guy who went to Europe and got a Passat and drove it, and he said that the thing gets 80 miles to the gallon.
78.5.
Yeah, and the why don't they sell this? And he's got this whole conspiracy because the tax collected in the Canada and the U.S. is through fuel sales. Here's the thing. The engine that is in that Passat that he drove in Europe is not available in North America because it has not been certified here. We have much stricter emission standards, and it's also a smaller engine than the one that's in the Passat. Volkswagen does sell a Passat. It's a 2-liter, and it's a different engine than the 1.6-liter that he was talking about. That engine has not been certified for North America. In addition, the miles per gallon that he quotes are American gallons, right, which is smaller. And if you convert it, I think it was 48 miles per gallon in the U.S. If you convert it and you do it to an imperial gallon, it's 58 miles per gallon in Canada. And then the fact that the European Passat is smaller than the North American Passat, and it's got a smaller engine. So all of those things add up to the European car being more efficient than the one that's sold here. There's no conspiracy. It's the fact that the engine is not offered in North America. And the Passat's brand new. It just came out this year. And the fact that it is offered with the wonderful diesel engine, it's a really nice car, is a great thing. And Americans and Canadians are offered that model. It's not the one that's sold in Europe, but that's just a brand new model that just came out in Europe. So hopefully we will get it in the years to come.
Well, that's good. Okay, I'm glad I talked to you.
And the other thing is the manufacturers are working flat out in order to get the diesel engines that they sell in other parts of the world into North America. For example, I'm going in a week or so to drive the new Mercedes-Benz GLK. Now, a lot of people can't afford a Mercedes-Benz, but the engine that is in that vehicle has been finally certified to come to North America. It's going to open up a whole bunch of new options for them to sell. Volkswagen is going to have more diesels. BMW is adding diesels. We hear Mazda is going to come with a diesel. General Motors apparently is coming with a diesel in the Cruze next year. So they're all coming. It's just the restrictions on the engines for North America limit what's able to come in. And it's got nothing to do with the fact that people don't want them and the car companies don't want to sell them. They just can't sell them here.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's fine.
So I've seen the video. I've watched the video. Somebody sent it to me. I sent a reply. It's this, I don't, you know, he's talking out his hat, basically.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay,
no. All right. Thanks. Now, speaking of that, I guess Brent's on the phone wanting to know about the 2012 Passat. Is that you, Brent?
It is.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the slightly longer story is that we were looking around for a new vehicle, and we were thinking because of the big sun and the desire to carry a bunch of, you know, three bags, golf bags and that sort of stuff, we needed to go with a smaller crossover to get the most gas mileage and whatnot. So we were looking at CX-5 and a few other ones, and then we dropped by VW, and my wife took one look at the Passat and said, well, look at all the storage and everything else. And
it's huge. That here's the one thing I say about the Passat. The Passat is so big in the back seat and in the trunk. I don't understand why, you know, the limo companies, the Crown Victoria and the Lincoln Town Car are discontinued. You can't buy any more of them, right? They're not allowed to sell them anymore. If I was somebody who owned a limo company, I would get a black Passat, tint the windows in the back a little bit, put nice wheels on it. It's got limo proportions in the back seat. It's that big.
Yeah. Well, and the other two other aspects of that was with the turbo, they're claiming, you know, 60 miles to the gallon.
That's the other thing. And then you get the efficiency of the beautiful turbo diesel engine. Yeah.
Yeah. The only one concern I had, well, actually, the third part was I couldn't believe how low the price was for that package. And then the other side of that coin, though, was about 8 or 10 years ago, friends had Jettas and whatnot, had all sorts of problems. So I'm assuming that they've managed to clean up the issues that they had back then.
Yes, Volkswagen did, and up until recently had, you know, a bit of a black mark against their name when it came to quality. And they had, you know, and they weren't alone. Mercedes 10 years ago had some terrible quality problems as well. And they fixed that. Audi is shooting way up in terms of quality. And Volkswagen is going way up. And here's an interesting thing. I was in New York for the New York Auto Show, and they had awards there, and they had the most improved brands in terms of quality. Now, Mini won the most improved, but Volkswagen was one of the runners-up, like it was in the top three. So they are getting their act together. They know that they have to improve their game because they're really pushing to sell more cars. You notice the price of the Passat is down around $23,000 or $24,000 for the base model. So they're really improving their pricing. They're building cars for North Americans many times in North America. That Passat's made in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And the Jetta's made in Mexico, and these plants are state-of-the-art, and the quality is coming along. So they are getting better. Here's the thing. I test-drive cars for a living. My dad wanted a new car. I put him in a Golf TDI wagon, right, the diesel wagon. Yep. And he's, you know, I will hear it if it isn't a good car, right, from my dad. So I'm putting faith in the fact that I think they're getting things more right than wrong these days.
So my question, therefore, is now that we're considering sedans, are there a couple other sedans you would suggest in that would be competitor to the Passat with the diesel?
They're the only ones that have it. And if you go if you watch my review on my website, motormouth.ca, that's what I say is the interior materials on the dash and what have you is first rate. And they're the only ones that have this available feature as a diesel, which is I drove at a, you know, the speed limits are different in the United States. I was driving 120, 130 kilometers an hour from Chattanooga, Tennessee to Nashville, Tennessee on the freeway down there. So I was not going slow. Now I'm going quickly, right? And I was getting like 5 liters per 100 kilometers at that speed with that big car. And that's remarkable. And the cars that I find get the closest to the actual posted numbers are diesel products.
I actually read your review, so thank you. We do a lot of highway driving.
A lot of highway driving, you will love this thing. It is spectacular. And the diesel engine that's in the Passat is different than the one that's in the Jetta. It's a different engine. And it's even more efficient. Even though the car is bigger, a lot bigger, it's actually more efficient than the Golf that I put my dad into.
Indeed. Well, thank you very much, Zach.
Okay, you're going to love it.
We will. Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye. That's it for this week. Thanks to everybody that phoned in. If you want to find out more, all the stuff we talked about today, it's on motormouth.ca. That's my website. I'm Zach Spencer. Thanks for tuning in. I'll speak to you next week on Driving.